Happy Resurrection Sunday. Isn't it exciting? I think it's a really beautiful morning. We have so many things happen this morning, and then everything is really, really wonderful. But now, just a little bit focus with me and then listen what God wants us to tell us, okay? Today is a day of profound joy for two reasons. First, we celebrate the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Second, we have the privilege of witnessing the baptism of our brothers and sisters today. You might wonder, what is the link between that water and this day? In the New Testament, baptism is described as a burial. When these believers go under the water, they are visually acting out of the death of the old self. When they come up out of the water, they are acting out of a resurrection to a new life. It is a beautiful, physical picture of a spiritual reality, I believe. But today we are going to look at the fine print of that promise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul pulls back the curtains on what actually happens to us because Jesus rose from the grave. He calls it the mystery. So let me read today's scriptures from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58. It says, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. But a perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. And today's message, the Apostle Paul begins his message by pointing out a very important problem. Paul begins in verse 50 with a blunt reality check. It says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is the central problem of the human condition. We were created for eternity, but we are currently living in perishable containers. We see this problem every time we look in the mirror and see a new wrinkle. I have a lot, believe me. Or every time we visit a hospital room, or every time we say goodbye at our graveside, our current earthly suits are subject to decay. They break, they tire, and eventually they fail. I have a secret. I am actually 53 years old. I know that many people think I look above 43. I'm grateful for that. However, lately, looking at my belly fat, my increasing gray hair, and how even that is gradually fading away, I often feel a bit bitter, thinking, ah, I don't think I'm young anymore. But I really love it when people at church occasionally call me young man. So that's, I love this church very much. You know, the kingdom of God is a realm of absolute life and unshielded glory. Paul is saying that in our current fallen, perishable state, we simply cannot handle that environment. It would be like trying to take a paper cup and fill it with the fire of the sun. The cup is not designed for that kind of power. As C.S. Lewis said, he says, our current glory is only the shadow of the glory that is to be. We are far too easily pleased, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum, because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. So the problem is not just that we die. It is that we are not currently built for the holiday at the sea. We need a fundamental change. I think this leads us to verse 51. Apostle Paul said, listen, I'll tell you a mystery. In the Bible, a mystery is not a whodunit novel. It is a divine secret that remained hidden for ages, but has now been revealed by God. The mystery is this. God is not just going to patch up our old bodies. He's going to transform them. Paul says, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Whether we are alive when Christ returns or have already fallen asleep in death, the result is the same. It's an instantaneous upgrade, immediate upgrade. How fast? Paul says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. Is it twinkling your eye? Yeah. Do you know how fast is this? Science says a twinkling is 0.01 second. Not me, it's the science said. The time it takes for light to reflect off your eye. This is not a long, slow evolution. It is a sovereign act of God. So he said, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. The word must he used is carries divine necessity. This is not merely desirable. It is a required by the nature and purpose of God. I think we can think of it like this. When you saw someone baptized today, five of them, they came out of the water and put on dry clothes. With those who are baptized today, please raise your hand. Where are you? Congratulations. And one more question. With those of you still wearing wet clothes, please stand up. I'm relieved, no one's. I believe that is a sign of your new life. Paul is saying that one day God will clothe our souls with body. They can never get sick, never grow old, and never die. A body that is as physical and real as the one Jesus had when he ate fish on the beach after his resurrection. but one that is perfectly designed for the weight of heaven's glory. Because this transformation is coming, Paul does something extraordinary in verse 54 and 55. He starts talking back to death, and he turns it. He said, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I remember when I was in school, I think the junior or senior high, there were always bullies who tormented their classmate. Whenever they were harassing their classmate in the classroom, the situation would calm down instantly the moment a teacher walked in. This was because the bullies lost their power due to the teacher's authority. At least that was the case when I was in school. I don't know these days, but anyway. So I think that Paul is looking at the greatest bully in human history, death. And he's laughing. Said, why? Because the sting is gone. Paul explains in verse 56 that the sting of death is sin. Let's think about a hornet. A hornet is only dangerous because of its stinger, right? If the stinger is removed, the hornet can buzz and look scary maybe, but it cannot kill you. On the cross, Jesus took the sting of our sin into his own heart. He exhausted the poison of death so that for those who are in Christ, death is no longer a terminal destination. It is merely a shadow. The theologian N.T. Wright puts it this way. He said, Easter means that in a world where mindless chance and total death appear to be the ultimate realities, there is a different reality. God's new world has begun. The victory is not something we achieve. It is something God gives. In verse 57, Paul says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul's sermon ended there, it would be a wonderful hope for the future, right? But as we know, Paul is a very practical person. He knows that even after we have finished eating Easter dinner with our family tonight, and the Easter flowers in our living room have withered, we still have to go to work on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday. And also, we still have to face our own trials, right? So he gives us verse 58, the anchor for our lives. He opens verse 58 with a therefore. As you know, the Apostle Paul always begins important exhortations with therefore. Romans, for example, like Romans chapter 12, which I really like, also begins that way. And just for your information, the title of our sermon I once preached, it is also therefore. So you can find and watch it on our church YouTube channel. And then click thumbs up, please. You can easily find Scott's sermon, but mine, you need to dig it. So that's what I'm saying. In verse 58, he says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. If the mystery is true, if Jesus is alive and your transformation is guaranteed, then you can be immovable. When the doctor gives a bad report, you can be immovable. When the world seems to be falling apart, you can be immovable. When you feel like your efforts don't matter, you can be immovable. Apostle Paul concludes like this. He says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In a world where everything eventually rots, breaks, or is forgotten, Paul says that nothing you do for Jesus is wasted. The kindness you show, the prayers you pray, the way you serve your family, the way you work with integrity, it all has eternal weight because you are working for a kingdom that is imperishable. At the beginning of my sermon, I shared my secret with you. As I grow older, I have realized that I often look back on my life. I reflect on my nearly 30 years of ministry as a pastor, as well as on my life as a son, husband, and father. The moments I sometimes find difficult are when I discover my own insignificancy while comparing my life to that of others. When I see great pastors recognized by everyone, my friends who provide a comfortable and stable life for their families, or parents who possess the ability to pave the way for their children's future lives more easily, I sometimes ask myself whether my past life has had any meaning. Then I silenced these noise voices within me and began to listen, giving my heart to the voice of the scripture being preached today. And I heard a voice that rejoiced over me and brought me comfort. He said, you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, right? Pastor John Stott said, because of the resurrection, we do not toil in vain. Every act of love, every deed done in Jesus' name, every sacrifice made for the gospel, these are not lost. They are being woven into an eternal tapestry that we will one day see in full. As we celebrate the Lord's resurrection today, and also joyfully celebrate those who were baptized today, we're seeing the mystery in action. These brothers and sisters are standing firm. They are declaring that they no longer belong to the perishable world of sin and death, but to the imperishable kingdom of Christ. So let this be our heartbeat this Easter. We do not just celebrate a miracle that happened 2,000 years ago. We celebrate a mystery that is unfolding in us right now. Death has lost its sting. Amen. Life has won the day. And because it lives, your life, your faith, and your labor are not in vain. Amen.